Oh my God, is it the new, it's 2023.
You bet. And you know what that means.
What does it mean?
It means we're going back to the Twilight Zone.
Oh no. Oh Jesus Christ. This, what did we do?
this is what we do over here at PCMC on New Year's Day or Eve. Happy New Year. Whatever, you get it.
Yeah.
Vin, you know, you're like the Doctor Who, Star Trek, Twilight Zone guy. You've really carved a nice little niche out for yourself here at PCMC.
Yeah.
Should be very proud.
Guess so.
Yeah. Well, last year we talked about It's a Good Life and
It's Still a Good Life.
Yeah, the sequel. And then with the year before that, we talked about
The Frozen Time.
Yeah. And so this year we're talking about The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street.
A classic.
Yeah. And the 2002 episode, The Monsters Are on Maple Street.
Right.
Slight difference.
Subtle.
Here's a fun fact. With the 2002 series, they would air an hour block of two of them.
Right.
I don't think it was an hour long show. I think they just
just aired two of them. Right. I used to watch it. So yeah. They would air it back to back.
This aired directly after It's Still a Good Life.
Oh,
the
okay.
Same date. So
we're
that
really,
day,
we're really running through the gamut here.
Yeah. So that day, you got a sequel to a classic episode and then a remake of a classic episode.
Yeah.
Not a great sign for a new series.
No.
And it's I mean, let's do the original one first, but we'll get to how cheap it looks. It's probably the production value wise, the 2002 version is probably the cheapest looking. I mean, it feels like,
hey,
syndication cable.
Well, it's like, hey, we just cornered off a block for an afternoon.
Yeah, we
and got
all
our shots in.
Yeah, we got Andrew McCarthy here. So, Twilight Zone, the original Twilight Zone, had 5 seasons and 156 episodes. The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street was season 1, episode 22. It aired on March 4th, 1960. The episode was written by Rod Serling and directed by Ron Winston. It stars Claude Atkins, who has been in a million things. The main guy, like the nice guy,
yeah.
You just know his voice and face. He's the kind of guy that you look him up on IMDb and you're like,
he's one of those guys.
Yeah, but you're also like, you're trying to find the jackpot of, that's what I know you from, and you don't find it. It's just he's there.
See, I know it couldn't have been this guy, but I kept thinking he was Robert Forrester.
Yes. Yeah, I did too. He's got that man vibe. Like the way you and I
right.
are not men.
Right. He's got like, I just got out of the wood shop.
Like, right. I smell like cigar smoke and Old Spice. I'm a man.
Yeah.
The only when I unwind on a Saturday, I just don't wear a tie on top of my slacks and button down. So the Monsters Are Due on Maple Street, it's a classic. They're all classics of the original. It begins with this voiceover. Maple Street, USA. Late summer. A tree-lined little world of front porch gliders, barbecues, the laughter of children, and the bell of an ice cream vendor.
Oh, this episode is extremely 50s.
It's very Americana. It's very like, you know, before it gets crazy, it's almost like a Norman Rockwell painting.
Yeah. And it's like, I can't think of any off the top of my head. I should have written them down. But there's definitely like 50s expressions that are used.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All throughout the episode.
Yeah. So it's the middle of the day. And I guess there's like above them, you don't see it, but above the street, people outside, and above the street, you hear this weird like warbling. And like, even though it's daylight,
something.
Like blinking lights. So everyone's like, what the hell was that? He's like, it's probably a meteor, huh? And then all of the power goes off on the street. And everyone's like, this is...
And they're like, well, we'll drive down to the police station.
Right.
And then none of the cars work at first.
Right, and they're like, well, what would cut off why would the cars not work? That doesn't make sense. The cars aren't electric.
Yeah. But then here's where everyone gets really dumb. So, not Robert Forster is about to walk over to the police station.
Claude Atkins.
Claude Atkins is about to walk over with some other guy.
Yeah.
The fun guy who's in a Hawaiian shirt the whole episode.
That guy is... I can't figure out if I like his version better in the original or the... The new one. Because in the new one, he's drunk the whole time, which is hilarious.
He's basically the drunk guy from the Magic Bullet commercial. He's Berman from the Magic Bullet commercial.
But in the 50s one, he's like got this really awful patterned shirt. It's like kind of Hawaiian, but kind of not.
I'm the party guy in the neighborhood.
Right.
I throw the barbecues.
Yet he ends up being the guy whose first is like, let's murder each other.
Right. So Claude Atkins and him are going to walk away and go to the police station. And then some kid, Tommy
yeah.
is like, well, don't go. And he's like, well, why shouldn't we go? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, well, that's just what the aliens want you to do. They don't want you to go.
Let me correct you, Vin. The word alien is never uttered in this show. They okay. only ever say, the kid says they. But whenever they refer to whoever they think it might be, they say monsters.
Okay,
I felt so like that was significant in a way.
Okay, so he's like, the monsters don't want you to go.
And they're like, what the fuck monsters are you talking about?
He's like, I read a comic book.
And everyone's like, ah, comic books.
But then...
But what's amazing, this is what... You're right, by the way, in that everyone goes crazy real fucking fast. But that's because it's 22 minutes. Like, if it were a movie... I think there'd be greater subtlety.
Right.
In a very short amount of time.
Right, because here's what happens.
You see the breakdown of a civilization.
Right, like, here's what happens. So they're about to walk away. Tommy's like, don't do it. I read in the comic book. They don't want you to do it.
Oh, but he also said, and in the comic book, they sent people ahead of time to be scouts, and they look just like us, and you never know who's really them.
Right, so you don't want to leave, and then we think you're the scouts.
And then the camera pans over the crowd, and everyone's sort of looking suspiciously, yeah. like, ugh.
So, like, oh, maybe this kid's right. Like, yeah. So already they're idiots.
But what? Well, yes, they're idiots, but it's the Twilight Zone, right? So we've got to, like, look at it through the sort of allegory lens, right?
I know.
What I think is clever about it is... Once something is said, it's out there and can't come back. And this is true for both yeah. of the episodes we look at. Once an idea is put out there, whether it's ridiculous or it's seen as ridiculous at first, once it's out there, someone will be like, well, but well, hey, you know what, though?
Yeah.
What well, about that entire, guy? Well, that guy's kind of weird, huh?
Well, that's this entire episode, because then they go over to, I forget the other guy's name, but like they go over to his house, and like, well, why is your stuff work?
Oh, right. The weird guy, Les Goodman.
Yeah,
his
yeah,
name is literally Goodman.
Name. Like Les Goodman.
Right, his house. And so his house just happens to have electricity. And they're like, hey, what's going on there?
Instead of just being, oh, well, maybe it's like one side of the street. Maybe like a power line, something. It's like, oh, no, something's up with this guy.
But then his car starts.
Right.
And people are really mad. But then his car stops again. And then his car starts, but he's not in it. And they're like, how did his car start? He wasn't even in it. What's going on here?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, the ridiculous thing that Tommy said 2 seconds ago is now like...
Now they're all on board with it.
They're all like, this guy is a monster who's hiding himself.
Right. It can't just be there's some weird electrical bullshit going on.
Right.
It's got to be, oh, wait a minute. This guy's car wasn't starting before. Now right. it is. He's a monster.
And Claude Atkins plays...
He tries to be the straight guy for most of it.
Right. He's kind of like the kind of character Jimmy Stewart used to play. Like, I'm...
Yeah, it's like, well, hold on, everybody.
I'm sensible. Right. Yeah. Like, yeah, think about, like, Jimmy Stewart. He's yeah. like, I'm the sensible one. Like, when people are, like, flying off the handle, he's like, no, wait. This man's our neighbor. What's wrong yeah. with this? And then one of the women in the neighborhood's like, oh, well, you know, since we're talking about Mr. Goodman... I see him sometimes out on his lawn
yeah,
at night,
just
looking
outside,
up at the
like,
stars.
He's like, oh, wait a minute, Gladys, I have insomnia. Like,
and everyone's like, ah, it's real, I
real
don't
convenient
like this.
You have insomnia.
Right, right. It just, you know what it reminds me of? One of my favorite lines in a movie from a good movie, not a great movie, is from Men in Black. Because great dialogue could be in all sorts of movies. When Tommy Lee Jones says to Will Smith, a person is smart, people are dumb. When Will Smith says, yeah. how are there aliens and no one sees? People are smart. And he says, no, a person is smart. People are dumb. That's kind of what this episode is. The fact that they're a crowd and they're outside and they're just bouncing off each other's fear. And fear, as Yoda said, fear turns to anger so quickly.
It does, because one person can be rational, but when you're in a group of people, that's when the peer pressure comes in.
Right.
And it's like, that's where you get like the whole, like, we're just sheep, like, we want to follow a trend.
And you don't want to be the one who goes, hey, let's calm down, because then you know they're going to be accusatory to you. It'd be like, oh, why are you defending him? Maybe you're the monster. Which happens.
Yeah, which basically happens. And...
oh, also, the other thing about, besides the lights in his house being on, he didn't come outside when the sound was there. And they're like, how come he didn't come outside?
Right, so
like,
where is he?
What's the matter? What are we doing? And what's interesting, this is why the first episode is better than the second one. There's nothing, when you look at Mr. Goodman, Les Goodman, he's a white person like the rest of them white. They're all white.
Right.
I sort of heard a little bit of like maybe an accent, maybe a tiny German accent, but... I might just be imagining that. For the most part, he's just a plain white person.
Yeah.
Which is so much more clever than what the 2002 episode does, where they're Middle Eastern. It's like, all right, let's... Can you hit it on the nose any harder, please?
Right. Now they think we don't even know if they're Middle Eastern.
Well, the only... Right, because they don't show them. But the only clue is somebody says, I think if you're bipedal, you should be put on a list.
Oh, yeah.
Which is ridiculous, because I buy pita bread all the time, and I'm white.
That's true.
I love a falafel.
You buy pita bread, you should be put on a list. That was dialogue. Okay.
Yeah.
But so basically, so they accuse Les Goodman. Things ramp up.
I keep wanting to say Saul Goodman.
I keep wanting to say Saul Goodman, too. Though Saul Goodman ran circles around this fucking crowd.
Here's an idea. Remake classic Twilight Zones with the original scripts. Not even change it. But... in every episode, you cast comedic actors.
Oh, that'd be great.
That's what needs to be done. That'd be incredible.
That would be good. But
Bob Odenkirk
is Les Goodman.
Hey, guys, I just have... This is my Odenkirk impression.
It's you, Odenkirk.
Yeah. The people in the podcast can't hear that I'm shrugging my shoulders. Hey, I got insomnia.
But you've never watched Better Call Saul.
I've seen him in things.
So things ramp up, and then eventually it gets so crazy where they see a shadow, and they're like, that's the monster.
Yeah.
And they're like, he's got a hammer, he's gonna fucking murder
us. Yeah.
Which, like, this monster's got a hammer, you got a gun.
Right.
What are you, like, getting trigger happy over?
Yeah, we should say, we haven't said, what's his name? What's the heavy's name? Charlie. Charlie Farnsworth. He's the fucking guy.
Charlie Farnsworth is a name you would give to a fat guy in the 50s.
Right. He's the fat. He's
Charlie Farnsworth.
He's the fat guy fucking with the Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
And he brandishes a gun out of nowhere. And everyone's like, whoa, calm down. So like you said, now it's night. Now it's after the act break, it's night.
So they see a guy
in the
shadows. And
people just standing outside the Goodman house just staring at them like, we're waiting for you to do something.
Yeah.
And fucking, what's his name? The main character, Claude Atkins, who's Steve, he goes up to talk to the Goodmans. And fucking Charlie's like, hey, I wouldn't be going there if I were you, Steve, huh? I'd be careful what company I keep, huh? It's not like you're not under suspicion.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he's like drinking a Coke aggressively. So yeah, it's the old man who in the beginning of the episode was like, I'm going to go down the block and check to see what the next block's doing. That's the guy coming out of the shadows. Back. But fucking, he gets shot.
Right. He could have been bringing good news, but we'll never know.
Right. And I think the reason we see the hammer is to indicate to us, the audience, it's the same guy in the beginning. Because they show the hammer
in the beginning. He's like, I'm going to go over there.
Right. And it's like, there's a very obvious shot of a hammer. It's like, oh, that's going to, I wonder how that's going to come back into play. Chekhov's hammer.
Yeah.
And then from like being super aggressive to now he's murdered an innocent man, Charlie's like, I didn't know. You all were suspicious. How am I supposed to know?
All this because the fucking lights turned off.
Right. The lights turned off, the phone turned off, and car stopped. Like, there's no reason a car should stop running. You know what I mean?
No, but you all saw something in the sky that was flashing.
But what was it, Vin?
Well, they actually do throw out there at the beginning that it could have been like a sunspot or something.
Right, which does have an effect on power.
But like, think of the logic rope that we followed here.
Sure.
So like, they see something in the sky, which is clearly what caused whatever's going on.
Right.
And then,
but
they,
then
they
why
go
does
to
this
check it out.
Asshole? Why is his car working?
We don't
he's
know.
In on it.
We don't know.
He's one of them.
We don't know, but we did hear a 12-year-old boy talk about somebody read in a comic book,
right?
And now that's got us all suspicious to the point where we shot and murdered the old man who went to go see what was
right.
going on in the upper
People
neighborhood.
People are dumb, especially when they're scared.
Yeah.
Yeah. Suspicion then turns on the main character, Steve,
right.
because he's got a ham radio. And someone's
right, and
like,
what are you doing with that ham radio?
Yeah, someone's like, ah, I heard from your wife. You're down there all hours of the night playing with that radio. What? Who are you talking to on that radio? And he's like, it's a ham radio. And they're like, ah, yeah. let's go see this radio. Let us into your house. And he's like, you're not getting in my house.
Let's see this ham
radio.
And then
they fight. And then, like, people are picking up rocks and shit. And yeah. then, like, it just turns into just utter
different to anarchy. You would think that people in the other neighborhoods would kind of be looking out their windows and be like, what the fuck's going on over there?
Yeah, yeah.
What's going on Maple
But you get
Street?
This feeling that Maple Street is somehow, like, isolated.
Yeah.
There's one interesting part, and again, this is something that's not in the new version, where everybody, there's a part where, see, what sucks about the new version is they always kind of all think it's this one family.
Yeah.
Whereas in this, it's,
you don't know
it
who
keeps
it is.
Going back and forth. And remember, we know the ending, right? This is Twilight Zone. It easily could have been one of them is a monster.
Yeah.
At one point, they're just this figure pointing back and forth. And when someone's like, Charlie, after he shot the guy and he's feeling all guilty, he's like, I know who it is. I know who it is. It's, he's clearly just thinking over the top of his head.
It's Tommy.
It's Tommy. He knew about the story. And then all of a sudden, everyone's like, yeah, let's kill the kid.
Yeah.
It's almost like Springfield in how quickly a mob is created. And at one point, the main character, Steve, is like, all right, let's not be a mob here.
Yeah.
That's exactly
five
what happens.
5 seconds later.
Yeah. So at the end,
an alien spaceship watching.
But it's
them.
So funny the pulling out because it looks like Hieronymus Bosch's hell. It's just everyone running around, people on fire, fucking yeah. people throwing shit, fucking Molotov cocktails, screaming.
And as we know, when someone's running on fire, that's the ultimate sign that shit
everything's
has gone
out
of
control. Right.
When you see a movie or a TV show and you see someone run by on fire.
Right. That's the ultimate sign of things are not well right now. And it pulls all the way out. And you see these aliens, and I wrote down their entire dialogue. So one says, understand the procedure now? Just stop a few of their machines and radios and telephone and lawnmowers. Throw them into darkness for a few hours and sit back and watch the pattern. And then the other alien goes, and this pattern is always the same? And then the first one's like, with few variations, they pick the most dangerous enemy they can find, and it's themselves. All we need to do is sit back and watch. And then the other guy goes, then I take it this place, this Maple Street, is not unique. Oh, by no means. The world is full of Maple Streets, and we'll go from one to the other and let them destroy themselves, one to the other, one to the other. And then they get in their ship and fly away. And what's interesting is the monsters, they're just like wearing like Buck Rogers outfits. Like, they don't look like monsters. They look humanoid.
Yeah.
One of them has a mustache. So it's interesting that it is aliens, in a way. Tommy's kind of right, but the aliens' plan is to just get people to kill themselves.
Right.
And it works. And obviously, we're thinking about the Cold War, right? We're thinking about, you know, the paranoia of who's a communist, who's truly an American, who's really for capitalism in the good old American way. So that's all the stuff that's happening in the world, and that's what Rod Serling's, like, putting through this story of, like, aliens. And that, my friends, is the rule of Twilight Zone.
Yes.
And that's why the 2022 episode, although it does have its charms, is fundamentally flawed because it breaks the rule of Twilight Zone. And not in a clever, you broke the rule way, in a you didn't understand the rule way.
Right.
The new version, which came out in 2022.
No,
2002, 20 years off. Yeah, 2000. Oh, right, it's 2003 it came out. It's from the 2002 one season of the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Was it CW, WB?
It was UPN.
UPN. This aired February 19th, 2003. It's directed by Debbie Allen, written by Erin Mayer and Mae Rindel. As I said, this series would show two back-to-back, so this comes on right after the sequel. From a sequel to a remake, right after the sequel of It's a Good Life. So it begins with a home association meeting, and they're all talking about Christmas decorations. And this one woman, Phyllis, is like, I think we should all have matching decorations. It looks so nice, you know. And Andrew McCarthy is the guy in the back who's like, ugh, fuck this. He doesn't like living in suburbia. He doesn't like his life.
Right.
He seems to be having trouble in his marriage. But he's our lead character. He's our reasonable one.
No, absolutely.
But he's a different kind of reasonable, because Claude Akins is your meat and potatoes, good old-fashioned American man. Whereas this guy is, he's a little smarmy. You could see why other people might not like him, because he is a little condescending.
No, absolutely.
And also what's important distinction is the way suburbia is depicted. In the original show, suburbia is depicted as perfect. This is beautiful. This is America. This is Americana. Whereas in the 2002 version, suburbia is depicted as something that's stifling, and it blocks your creativity and your humanity and your ability to be empathetic. So it's very interesting you see the time reflected in the way that they just look at the setting. So his name isn't Steven. His name is Will. He's Andrew McCarthy, who I won't say I met, but I was coming out of a door that he was going into.
Okay.
And I kind of was like, this guy looks familiar. And it took me a good, like, 10 minutes where I was like, you know what? I think there's a guy from Weekend at Bernie's. Phyllis talks about how everything was uniform when she and her husband were living on the military base. Her husband's over in Afghanistan or Iraq. So right off the bat, you're breaking the rule, right?
Right.
Because
now it's like getting into, talk about right, terrorism.
You don't go directly at it.
Well, you do in this episode.
You do in this episode, but like, you know, because the original could have been like, that guy's a communist. But no, it's about, are you a monster? And yes, they probably would not have allowed Rod Serling to do that, but whatever. He wasn't allowed to do it, so he went to science fiction. This episode, where I will give it kudos is that it's 2003. So we're only 2 years after 9/11. And it's being critical of the war on terror. It's being critical of the president. It's being critical of the way people talked about terrorism. Like, there's a part where someone's like, I heard it's a code orange.
Right, going to orange alert.
For you kids, you don't understand. Like, we used to, I think we still have these things, but no one cares about them anymore. Like, there would be
terror alert levels.
Yeah, right. Like,
remember, like, Tom Daschle would come on TV.
Yeah.
And be like, here's why we're moving it from yellow to orange today.
Right. Like the way you might check the weather, you'd be like, what's the terrorist index today? Oh, we're at orange. I don't know if we should go out, honey.
Yeah.
So someone mentioned Zatanniss. Kudos for that. But being so directly on the nose is the problem.
Yeah, and like you said before, there's a line about, like, I don't trust people who eat pitas. Like,
yeah, and a black character says that.
Yeah.
So what's interesting is, because this is 2002, they're not all white, right? But even in that little group, they're the suburbanites. So they're, like, they're still sort of homogenous.
And if you thought things ramped up in the last one,
2002, you had way more commercials, so we got less screen time to play with.
Right. So basically, and it's like I was saying off mic, like, not a lot happens in this episode, but it all ramps up very quickly. Like, so they're inside the house having like a neighborhood meeting or whatever about Christmas lights,
right? It's fun, because that is a new kind of thing, a home association meeting where you have to fucking spend a miserable Saturday with your neighbors talking about how you're going to do your fucking Christmas lights, drinking punch from a bowl. Except for Dylan, who is this episode's Charlie. He's drinking beers throughout the whole episode.
Yeah, he's getting fucking drunk.
And he's wearing a jersey.
Yeah, we swapped out Hawaiian shirts for jersey.
Right, because he's that kind of guy. He's a football fucking,
why do we gotta be here? The game is on.
Right. Like, he should have been played by Tim Allen. What's going on here?
She's like, Wilson, there's Muslims.
Wilson, now he's somebody you can't trust.
No.
Why aren't you showing your face?
Yeah, why aren't you showing your face? Well, you come out from other, you know.
What, you got a Muslim chin?
Muslim chin.
What, are you one of them? You know, for young listeners of this show, It's 2022, so you fucking maybe were a baby at this time. But me and Vin, we're grown-ass men. You don't know. The world was like this in a way. You know what I mean? Like, I remember I worked at a record store called FYE. That means four-year entertainment. And we sold hard... Yes. No, softcore pornography. We sold hard media. We sold VHS.
Yeah.
We sold DVD. We sold CD. And one time I was at the register, and some lady was just talking about music. It was not exactly like High Fidelity, but it wasn't not. So I was just like, we were talking about classic rock, and I was like, oh, one of my favorite classic rock is Cat Stevens. And this woman looks right now and goes, but he's a terrorist. And I was like, Cat Stevens is not a terrorist. And she's like, yeah. No, I'm pretty sure he is. And I'm like, he's a Muslim. He converted from Christian to Muslim.
Yeah.
But he's not a terrorist. And he was put on a no-fly list.
But that's just because we were xenophobic.
Right. That's another thing you got to know about the time. The no-fly lists.
Yeah.
It was for whatever suspicion. See, what happened was 9/11 happened. And because we were all terrified, we gave up all of our rights and privacy. And we had this thing called the Patriot Act, which was this huge, huge sort of battery of legislation.
Well, like, we're suspending our freedoms, basically.
Basically, that allowed so people, it allowed the government to look at your emails. It allowed all of this stuff. It opened a lot of doors that still are open, that have not closed.
Yeah.
So
you could spy on religious organizations.
Yes. Yeah. You know, so at that time, you'd be like, ah, and I want to go to
forget, like, you... Like, we want to talk about, like, oh, we're so, like, religion tolerant.
Yeah.
Do you remember the whole kerfuffle about the mosque at Ground Zero?
Yes. When was that? Was like, that, like, 10
That was a couple years later, but it was around that time.
Yeah, maybe 15 years ago. Yeah.
But it was, like, in New York City, people, they were going to build a mosque, like, a couple of blocks from Ground Zero.
I got to correct you. That's what all of the xenophobes said. It was really across town. It was not that close.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, it wasn't even that close. Like, they made it sound
right.
Like this was right across the street.
Well, conservative media was like made it sound like they were building a mosque on where the Twin Towers were.
Right. Like, they destroyed the Twin Towers and now we're gonna put a mosque up where it was.
Right.
Which, like, that would be offensive.
Right.
That would be the only thing that would be offensive. Right. Like even if they put it across the street, it wouldn't be offensive. Because right. It's like, who the fuck?
Right.
Like,
and also, this is all conservative fucking propaganda. Because, in fact, I don't think it was a mosque. It was like a community center.
Right, it was a Muslim, like, community
center. Right, they were going to fucking play
Jenga. It was like a YMCA. Right. They were going to build a Muslim YMCA.
Right, no one was going to be there, like, doing whatever you think is weird. It was going to be fucking normal people who eat Pop-Tarts and are just people. But yeah, people were... I remember having big fights with people about that. Like, come on, don't you just... Look, I'm all for religious freedom, but don't you think you're disrespectful? It's like, how? Like, so you can't be a Muslim in New York anymore? The whole city's out because of something?
Like, well, you know, they could put it downtown. It's like, well, they might as well put it downtown.
Right. Yeah, so this was the climate that this episode comes out.
Yeah, and this whole... Like you said, scenes about, like, oh, this terror, I don't know what's going on. Like,
we haven't even really got into it. At the Homeowners Association, you hear just like the first episode, you hear this crazy sound, there's blinking lights, and the windows actually crash. And everyone's like, oh, shit, what was that, an earthquake? What was that? Everyone runs out into the street, and everyone's like, oh, what was that? And, they see the cars aren't working, nothing's working, their phones aren't working.
But they see a house.
Right.
And this one house at the end of the block has, like, they notice has electricity.
And those people, they moved in during the night. What are they hiding? Why'd they move in at night?
Right.
Also, they did not come out, just like in the original episode, they didn't come out when the sound started. So what are they hiding?
Right. It could just be, right, instead of just being like, oh, well, their house wasn't affected.
Right. Right, and there's a little kid in this, but he's like a fat little shit, and he's like playing Game Boy. He's like your typical, right. He's your typical like fat shit kid, and he doesn't know about comic books. He's talking about Independence Day. He's like, this is just like Independence Day.
Well, he doesn't even say Independence Day. He calls it ID4.
Wow. Yeah, you bet.
Because I had to rewind that back when I watched it on YouTube because I didn't know what he said at first.
How long has it been since you heard someone say ID4?
I had to rewind it back because he said, Dad, this is just like ID4. And I'm like, what? It's like, what? It's like ID4. I'm like, ID4, and then a second layer, they go, Independence Day. I'm like, yeah. Oh, Independence... Fuck calls it ID4.
But
like,
I remember people calling it at the time.
Oh, yeah. That was part of some of the marketing.
Right. That's another thing. This is going back to the 90s kids. I don't know why or how we thought it was really cool to make, like, just letter abbreviations of things. I think it started with Terminator 2. People called that T2.
T2, so it's like ID4.
Right. But there was a lot of that shit.
There was a lot of that and a lot of... Not in the year... This really fucked me up.
Yes.
Not in the year 2000, but for like 3 or 4 years before the year 2000, everything had 2000 at the end of it.
Right, right.
And it's like, we're not going to save... Which is stupid enough, but it's like you're not going to save this for the actual year 2000.
Blues Brothers 2000.
1998.
Because it was coming, man. Who could... Your mind's going to be blown. So at this point, that's when... So we don't see the family in the house. It's not like the original episode where Les comes out and talks to them. They're like, they're just in there. And they also have a fence. And fucking
right,
Dylan.
So it's like, ah, they're.
Dylan, they're who's still got a beer in his hand now. He's been day drinking all day. He's like, they're the only ones on the block with a fence.
Yeah.
He's just getting more and more drunk as the day goes on.
Yeah, and then the Claude Monet or whatever character.
Andrew McCarthy.
Playing Will, like, they go up to the house, and they knock on the door, and, like, no one answers. And they're like, well, let's go in. And like, we're not going in the house. So he, like, sort of drags them back. And then for the rest of the episode, they're kind of just standing in the street. Although, again, it ramps up very quickly, because I blinked, and when my eyes reopened, he had a gun to the other guy's head.
Right.
And was like, maybe you're one of them. Why are you so defensive of them?
Much like Charlie in the original episode, a gun is brandished very, very quickly. But I guess it makes more sense in 2002, though.
Right.
Because people do love guns.
They do. And then they see a car drive up.
Right.
And they're like, oh, what's this? And then it's the neighbors.
It turns into the house. And they're like, oh, no.
They're like, oh, what's going on here?
There's a little bit of backstory. There's a weird subplot where... It's nighttime now, and you see Andrew McCarthy and his wife in their house. And his wife is like, they get into a fight, and the wife is like, you know, the way you talk to people, you know, you're condescending, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, you're the one who wanted to live here. I didn't want to live here.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I thought it would be a good place to raise a family. And he's like, it would be. And then he's like, okay, we'll keep trying. So they're like not, they're trying to have a kid, and I guess it's not going well, and their marriage is falling apart. He doesn't want to be there. There's stuff going
weird
on.
Subplot.
There's stuff going on. Well, it's
nowhere.
Cool because, unlike in the original episode, his wife turns on him in this.
Yes.
In the original episode, the wife does not turn on the husband. But in this, eventually the wife starts agreeing with the mob. And then eventually she's like, fuck you. I'm part of the mob now.
But yeah, so he goes back to the home where we think the Muslim people are.
Right.
And this time he goes inside.
But we don't see his point of view.
We don't see his point. We just see the people watching him. And they see like his silhouette in the window.
Like, what is he talking about?
Like,
man?
What's going on? How he's been there so long? Yeah. And then he comes out and he's like, listen, he's kind of trying to tell them like, they were just keeping to themselves.
He said he works at night. His family, when they're scared, they don't open the door.
Yeah.
And he works in electronics firm.
Right. And that comes into play because after he has the gun pulled on him, then they find a fucking... like spy cam.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, there's a spy cam here. And they're like, oh, what's that about? And they're like, there's one under the car too. And they keep finding these spy cams.
Yeah, yeah. The way the gun comes out though is really hilarious. Because it's just like a gun. It's just, there's not a gun there. There's not a gun.
There's
in
not
play.
A gun. And then it's like the action movie cliche of like, you really want to make that move? And it's like he's got a gun to his head now.
Right. What does he say? Will says something. What does he say?
He's like getting real defensive of those people. Why are you getting so chummy with them?
Oh, and then Dylan says, and again, this is something the President of the United States said at the time. He says, you're one of us or one of them.
Right.
Which, I was that like the first speech after 9/11? That was, or the first...
I don't know.
It became the sort of rallying cry for xenophobes.
Was it before or after we created Freedom Fries?
Right. You're one of us. You're with us or against us.
Yeah.
Which then Anakin Skywalker said later on.
So then they find the spy cams, and now they're really like, oh, shit, what's going on here?
But they're like, that guy works at an electronics company.
Now they're putting it together. Like, he works in electronics. There's these toy spy cams on my house.
Right.
Can't be a child. It's got to be Muslims.
Right.
So then they just go crazy and, like, fucking burn the guy's house down.
They Freddy Krueger him.
Yeah.
They throw rocks in his windows. And what's fun is, like, how gleeful they are at that moment.
Oh, they're loving it.
And as you said, the power's been out for 2 hours.
Right. The
power. We're burning a family alive.
Right. We're not even, like, 3 hours into it. Like, it was sunny out. And now, like, it's just nighttime.
Right.
And they very easily could be like, guys, let's sleep it off. Let's come back in the morning and see what's going on with the power.
Right. Something funny that Will says is he goes, when he's trying to be Mr. Sensible, he goes, this is what the terrorists want. They want us to turn against each other, which maybe at the time that sounded more like a rational point of view. Now it sounds like he's obsessed with terrorism.
Yeah.
As I guess everyone was at the time. Again, it's hitting it right on the fucking nose. I mean, you're literally saying the point of the episode by saying they want us to turn on each other.
Do they even go pick up their kids? Because isn't there like a thing at the start where they're like, oh, half the families and kids couldn't be here?
No, but some kids make it there because there's this weird shot where they're burning the house down. There's a shot of some kids looking scared. As if to say, like, oh, the kids are above this.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because, no, they're not. They'd be like, yay! They'd be totally about, let's burn this house down.
Maybe roast the marshmallows.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, basically, instead of aliens, so now everything's going haywire.
Right. We're at that point,
and then it cuts out.
Will gets, like, smashed in the face or something. His wife is turned against him.
And he gets smashed in the face with glass.
Yeah. Oh, well, at one point... Wait, was it in the original or the new one? There's a shiv. Is it in the original?
In the original.
Someone breaks glass. And tries to shiv someone.
Yeah. And they kind of recreate that here where Will gets a cut.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's bleeding on the lawn. He's like, he's fucking...
But now, instead of pulling out and seeing, like, weird Italian aliens, you pull out and it's like a van. It's a van and it's like two fucking army recruiters.
Right.
That are like, it's all going according to plan. Like,
I wrote down all the dialogue.
Okay.
In the event of a perceived terrorist attack, isolated communities will sustain themselves for 5 hours. And then the other soldier says, do you think they meant to leave that power on in that one house? Beats me. But I'll tell you one thing. If the other civilian security tests went this way, we're all in trouble. So...
Wah, 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 like, big indictment.
It's the kind of thing that's, like, on the surface, that's clever. But let's talk about how it's not. Because the aliens were trying to make the people turn against each other. Whereas here...
They were just monitoring. They were just watching.
Right, it was a stress test, I guess. But, like...
They're like, they survived.
And it had, like, this weird, like, why? Like, why are you trying to...
And it had this weird, like... Not comedic element, but just like, they only lasted 5 hours. It's like, right. What are you trying to say there? Like,
and you know, the aliens ended it by going, we'll go to every town and we'll do this, and this is how we'll destroy the world. Where this one ends with the soldiers being like, oh, if this happens in every test, we're really in trouble.
Yeah.
It's like, well, then who's running these tests?
Right.
Is Dick Cheney behind this? Why? What are we gaining? And you might say, well, Mike, that's a very literal question. But I say to you... You invite these questions when you make it so literal.
Right, you made the episode.
You're the one who made it their family that you were at least hinting or from the Middle East. You're the one who bring up terrorism. You're the one where you keep talking about the military. You say the words terrorist. No one says the word communist in the original episode.
No.
Right? It's just, here's not one of us. Right? It's much better language. Right? He's illegitimate. I think someone says the word illegitimate at one point.
Yeah.
Which is a thing people said when Obama got elected.
Right.
Show
us your birth certificate.
Right. It was this weird feeling of, I know the facts don't support it, but I just feel like he's not one of us.
And honestly, I never liked that Obama gave in and showed his birth certificate. Because the thing was, he was never going to win.
Right.
Because even after he showed his birth certificate, what I thought was going to happen did happen, which the conversation then shifted to, oh, well, it's a fake birth certificate. If you see here, it's like the watermark doesn't match up. It's like
right.
people dissecting a birth certificate.
Right.
Meanwhile, it's like, when the fuck did... When are you looking at birth certificates enough?
Right. Well, that was... That's sort of in... I mean, he's been around since the 80s, but in some ways, that was the
birth of Trump.
Yeah, the birth of political Trump. Because right. he rallied against it and was like, I'm going to go on a fact-finding mission and I'm going to find the real birth certificate.
And again, the... Which he never did.
No, of course not.
But he, and this is the other big reason I don't like that Obama gave in, is because then Trump used that to start his campaign where he was like, I was the guy that got him to reveal his birth certificate.
Right, which turned out to be legit.
Yeah, which turned out to be legitimate, but then you thought wasn't legitimate anyway.
Right.
And now you're selling NFT superhero.
So you, I know you're the one who recommended, last year you're the one who recommended It's Still a Good Life. So did you watch the 20... I keep wanting to say 2022, the 2002 series.
Yeah, it was not good.
Did you see this episode when it was on?
Yes.
Okay.
It was not good. Forrest Whitaker is not a great host.
Well, you know what it is? He's like a sweet everyman. You know what I mean?
So he comes in like a dad.
Yeah, like he... It was a totally different vibe. Like, it felt like... It feels like he's trying to do like a, you know, a commercial for bread or something.
Right. He's clearly not physically in any of the shots. And this is a running theme throughout all the 0203 version.
Oh, just bad green screen?
Bad green screen. Yeah, like at the beginning of this episode when he does the Rod Serling like speech, it's very clear he's just walking into like a green screen and everything's just behind him.
Right. So he was not a great host.
The theme you want to take a wild guess who does the theme song?
I know it is, because I think we talked about it last year.
Yes, it is Korn.
Korn.
Yeah, very weird.
But there were some good ones. You know, what's weird about that, and it only had one season, but what's weird about it was, I feel like it started off with unique episodes, and then very quickly devolved into let's remake and sequelize classic episodes.
Yeah.
Like, super quickly.
They had some weird... Original. The original ones, they were kind of weird. Like, I was watching one a while, I think last year when we did the sequel episode, I was watching an original one that came on right after that by YouTube.
Yeah.
And it was a guy who works at an office who gets a bobblehead doll. And the bobblehead doll starts talking to him and telling him to do stuff. But the bobblehead doll was voiced by Pat O'Brien.
From
what was it, Entertainment Tonight?
Oh, shit. Was that the guy who, like, got caught leaving?
It's like,
I just want to do some coke and go crazy on your tits.
Yeah.
Okay. So he was the voice of the bobblehead.
Yeah.
I'd rather have that, though.
Maybe next year we'll watch an original episode from that version.
Yeah, maybe. And then kind of what happened with the Jordan Peele CBS All Access one was they were kind of like remixes of the original.
Right. It's like, we're not going to do it one-to-one, but like, we're going to...
Take the idea and spin it.
Yeah.
So probably the of all the revivals, the 80s ones.
Oh, the 80s one is by far the best.
Because it's good production design. You've got the best, you know, TV writers, sci-fi fantasy writers like George R. R. Martin.
Harlan Ellison.
Stephen King wrote episodes. You got good directors. And they were just doing the concept. They weren't...
And good actors. So, like, the first episode that they did had Bruce Willis in it.
Right. Yeah, it wasn't overly married to, like, the original series. I mean, obviously, the original series is iconic, which is why they rebooted it. But they just did it. They just did more Twilight Zone, which is probably the way you should do it if you're going to do it.
Yeah, pretty much. Because you don't want to... You don't want, at the end of your run, to feel like you were just doing, like, leftover.
How do you... As a fan of the original series, how would you rank, like, The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street in terms of, like, your favorites?
People... Put it near the top. I would put it more in the middle.
Okay. Yeah, it's not my go. It's not like my go-to.
Yeah.
Like if someone, when I
it's
used to
notable because of the communism.
Right. When I used to teach, I used to show Eye of the Beholder.
Yeah.
Which to me feels like the like a good encapsulation of what this show could be.
Yeah.
Like really weird, really well written, very somber. And a good, very good twist.
You know what we got to do? You know what show we got to do is the 90s Outer Limits. The late 90s, early 2000s Outer Limits.
Really?
Yeah, because I used to watch that all the time. Because that would come on in syndication on the weekends.
Uh-huh.
And then on Saturday nights on CBS. That was like for a time their counter programming to SNL.
Before Howard Stern show came on?
Oh no, after Howard Stern.
I never watched the original Outer Limits, actually. You know, where are they on? They're always spoken in the same breath as the Twilight Zone, but like where can you find the Outer? I'm interested in the Outer Limits. Where are they?
I think it's on Amazon, maybe Paramount Plus.
What's amazing when you look through Twilight Zone is like you look at like you look at episode 1, 2, 3, 4, and it's like boom boom, like that classic.
Yeah.
Like what it must have been like to been alive when they were airing. And just like, did you see last week's? Oh my God.
Well, oh yeah.
Oh, and then, well, I wonder what tonight's going to be like. And then, holy shit, did you see tonight's? It, like sometimes it's like two huge episodes right next to each other. And it's like, oh wow.
Yeah, it's wild.
It is crazy. It's crazy how good it was. Yeah, well, as always we say, the Twilight Zone is a great way to start the year because it's a way to remind you of the meaninglessness of existence and how your version of reality is nothing but an illusion that exists in your little mind. Right. And in fact, any one of us can slip.
There you go.
We end every episode by saying,
go bye-bye.